Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. I'm your faithful Haitian host, Big Waz. On the line, as always, is my brother, comrade, compatriot, you know, fellow Nation of Islamer.
That's right.
Michael Jamal Shabazz Abdul Brooks. What up, Michael?
Allahu Akbar.
Just a couple. Oh, and of course, and of course, not to ever forget the super producer, the evil genius Junior, my man Rob Lopez, man. On the ones.
Oh wow, he is evil genius Junior. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'll accept it.
Evil genius Junior. Wow.
Junior, baby. Just to get some house cleaning items out of the way today, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to this on a Thursday because I know you guys, once you see Woke Bros pop up on your timeline, you just got to run and listen to it. Today, Thursday, November 15th is the very last day that you could get this batch. And it won't be a batch of these for a long time. This batch of Count the Dings merch on cottonbureau.com. Search Count the Dings. Get you a shirt. Get you a pin, man. I got my two pins in the mail, and I was like, woo, I'm swagging on it, man. So make sure you guys get your hands on that. You're going to be mad when you see everybody stunting on the internet, stunting on the gram with their new gear. So make sure you get that. And, of course, don't ever forget to listen to the Michael Brooks Show. Sign up as a Patreon, man. This guy, Michael Brooks, is moving out here, boy.
Yes, sir. Got, yeah, we cracked 1,700 patrons. So join and get the full global entertainment, political education. We were just breaking down the Amazon deal and also a new piece with this woman, Malaika Jabali, on the color of economic anxiety. And February 1st, live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn. Get your tickets. They're moving fast.
All right. So, Rob, you want to do these mailbag topics, man? Because you know, I'd rather you just serve it up and me and Michael just do alley-oops, proverbial alley-oops, of course. You know, we don't dunk on people on this pod.
Of course. Yeah, so we basically what we did is we reached out to the Twitter world and had everybody send in questions using the hashtag WokeBros. Yeah, we picked out a couple. I picked out a couple for this week. We're going to go through a couple, see what happens. First off, right off the bat, we have a question from Yafeti on Twitter, at Yafeti. He's asked, why do people think Beto should run for president? What kind of odds do you think he'd have in 2020?
You want to take this, Mike, or do you want me to go?
Go for it. I'll tee off.
I think Barry set a precedent where he hadn't even finished his term as a senator, and he ran. And of course, he ran against Hillary Clinton, who had like a resume longer than you know what. And he won. And he won on ideas. He won on charisma, personality, likability, all the things that Beto possesses in spades, right? And so I think people are looking at him as the quote-unquote, and it's stupid to say this, but the quote-unquote next Obama, right? And I think that's where people are going with it. And as far as his odds, If we were handicapping it right now, I don't know what they got it in Vegas. I would say Elizabeth Warren is probably definitely the front runner between her and Bernie. And then you got people like Kamala Harris, people like Sherrod Brown, people like Gillibrand, you know, sort of the rest of the crew. But I would say Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are the two top front runners right now. And, you know, if Beto got in, he'd be in the Gillibrand group, to me, in my opinion. I don't know about you, Mike.
Yeah, no, I think he's more in that political profile. I think, frankly, he's more, you know, he's a better candidate than a lot of those other folks in terms of just his charisma and campaign style. Yep. You know, I think his politics are not my politics. I'm much more to the left. There's two things that we got to think about when we think about the presidential election. One is, you know, obviously it's a matter of couldn't be greater urgency to get rid of Donald Trump. And I'll say something that a lot of people hate. I think that if the goal is limited to we just got to beat Donald Trump, like old right-wing corporate failed Anita Hill, you know, schlocky Joe Biden might be the guy, to be honest.
Jesus Christ.
Now, on the flip side, if it's really about we need to not only get rid of Trump, but get rid of all of the conditions that lead to Trump and global Trump and take on the banks and get everybody health care and, you know, do something about the environment and U.S. empire and prisons. I mean, that's still Bernie Sanders. Like, he's that dude. And also, Elizabeth Warren, to me, I like her, particularly on, you know, her strong suit. She's great on Wall Street. She's great on consumer protection. But I just don't. I just don't think she's got the charisma, the chops to do it, right, to be honest.
Yep.
I think, you know, but look, I would say I don't think all of the kind of dumb reasons why Beto shouldn't run for president are all sort of out the window. Like, I think we're all done, you know, oh, wait your turn, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that's, what did Donald Trump do before he won?
Exactly. So I would basically just say, you know, we have to decide what we're really trying to do here. I do think specifically the map that you need to create with, you know, the industrial Midwest and everything. I mean, Beto was great. He endorsed single payer universal government healthcare when he ran for the Senate. But, you know, he's still very pro trade agreements, kind of business oriented. Mm. He does come from a family of landlords, which you got an arch and eyebrow at.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a red flag. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why he shouldn't run. I don't see the downside of running. And again, I would encourage a crazy huge field, man. Why the hell not? Why not? A huge field and a bunch of people who are talented and who are interesting and who are lefty. You know, as Michael stated, I've loved Elizabeth Warren from the start. I don't know. Like, I love Bernie in a boxing match against Trump because he is just so unflappable. And he is so in tune with the bullshit and the tricks and the way people phrase questions, and he will not get off his message, and he won't try anything cute. You know, like, he won't try to be clever by half or cute by, like, no. We gonna stay with what the fuck we came here for. And so right. I love Bernie matchup-wise as a Trump foe. But again, like, Elizabeth Warren fought for the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau. She's been about this healthcare fight. Like, she's shown that she cares about regular working Americans. Like, that's basically her entire platform. And so, you know, I got no problem with her. I love Beto just like, you know, and we talked about this on Woke Bros. We talked about this on the Michael Brooks Show. I just love him as a dude. Like, his ability, like, he just gets it. Like, connecting and getting people to understand that, like, yo, this is a guy I want to fuck with. I want to lead me. You know, he's an exciting dude. I happen to be somebody who likes Kamala Harris. I think the fact that she's a cop actually works in her favor because she's black. So it's sort of that Obama thing where he's like a really conservative Democrat and he's really right-leaning, but he's black. So he doesn't have to go too far left. Like, she can just lean on blackness.
Can I ask you a style question, though, about Kamala Harris? So, like, look, I've got plenty of political problems with Kamala Harris, including the fact that she could have prosecuted Steve Mnuchin for illegal foreclosures in California, and she didn't. She's the only Democrat he contributed to, and that's a piece that David Dane wrote, I think, in The Intercept. So,
word.
I got a lot of problems with Kamala Harris, but here's the thing that is funny to me, just on pure style points. So people get very, like, you know, the sort of like the woke people kind of Twitter contingent, Kamala Harris and the MSNBC kind of thing. People get very excited about Kamala Harris. Now, Kamala Harris is very good on the Judiciary Committee because she's a lawyer and she's a cop. She's great at forensic questioning.
Yeah.
She knows how to put people on their heels. And it's great when she's doing that to some little gremlin like Jeff Sessions. On the flip side, if you have seen her out, like, at a campaign rally or giving a speech or doing the type of thing that you need to deliver day in and day out to masses of people,
We don't know if she's got that.
Not only that, I would actually go so far to say she's pretty fucking dry. Mm. So it's like, I get like she's intelligent, she's attractive, she has a certain, you know, she has a certain no bullshit charm. And then also I got to say, like, on the flip side, like, let's face facts, like, I don't know if, you know, a really smart, like, good looking, no children, African American woman who, you know what I mean? Like, I don't actually know if that's, I mean, for all of the wrong reasons, that might not play well. You know what I'm saying? Because of people's racism, misogyny. But on the flip side, I'm telling you, like, you know, people, when we make these Obama comparisons, and I'm not, you know, Obama is a once generation political talent.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris, man, like, she does not give amazing speeches. She does not, like, she doesn't light it up like that.
Is she not even Jesse Jackson? Because Jesse Jackson was not nasty.
No. In fact, the funny thing, honestly, like, again, this is another paradox, but, like, really bluntly, if Kamala Harris was white, I think, like, she would be Christian Dillibrand, you know?
That's what was making Barry point.
But these are not great speakers. These are not really charismatic figures at all.
150%. If she were white, she'd be Gillibrand. She'd be, all right, yeah, we get it. A cool, dope, little progressive woman that we all love. But, like, man, she wouldn't get people half as excited as she does if she weren't black. And that's what I'm saying. But I think
And obviously, on the flip side, she won't get half of the demonization and the racism. But I'm just saying, like, so it goes both ways, of course. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, literally just watching her the way you'd watch an athlete, you know, in the warm-ups. And it's like,
And by the way, and we haven't talked about this dude, but Cory Booker is he's that in the reverse. He just seems like a lying-ass motherfucker. Like, he's just... He's just untrustworthy as hell, bro.
He's a cornball.
Like, literally.
I was in a car the other day. I was in a Juno. And the driver was, I don't know, he was listening to some, like, you know, local station. And it was, like, the day before or 2 days before the midterm. So they were just the airways filled with, like, those really, you know, cheap, direct, like, political radio spots. And the one for Cory Booker was all just like, and we've got to stand up and we got to blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up, Cory. Yeah.
Like, bad Barry impression. He's just doing a terrible Barry impression.
Barack Obama could get anyone. Like, I remember... You know, I don't want to get into a Glenn Greenwald thing, but I just even remember, like, Glenn Greenwald, when Barry got reelected, Glenn Greenwald tweeted out during his victory speech, like, if Obama governs like this, this will be awesome. You know what I mean? Like, point being that, like, everybody except for just, like, stone cold Nazis could have moments with Obama who were, they were just like, all right, shit.
This guy's impressive.
Yeah, Cory Booker, like, come on.
Get out of here. All right, we can move on to the next question. I think we've done enough.
Like, Beto O'Rourke is definitely more Obama than Cory Booker. Like,
That goes without saying.
Yeah. How Obama?
But hold on, and I do got to say, because Cory Booker is a nothing, a nobody, has no freaking standing in the party. It's nice that we don't have a Hillary this time, right? Like, our Hillary would be Beto, which is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's such a goddamn relief. I just want to say it's so nice, man. We don't got no Al Gores. It's just like, whew, Lord, we making progress, Mike.
And for the degenerates out there who are actually interested in the odds, as of last week, Donald Trump is the favorite, obviously, as the incumbent. Right there, tied second, is Kamala Harris and Beto O'Rourke. Third is Bernie. Fourth is Joe Biden. Tied for fifth is Elizabeth Warren, Mike Pence, Cory Booker. And then you get a little crazy with Oprah, The Rock.
That's, you know what that is, too? A lot of that is name stuff.
Of course.
Where it's like they put that on the board, Vegas does, because they're like, yeah, people know the name. They'll bet on Joe Biden. But it's like, that dude doesn't stand a fucking chance, bro.
And interesting enough, Michael Avenatti is on here, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels. He actually just got arrested today for felony domestic assault.
You know what? You know who I'd like to see get put over there? The Philly guy.
Who?
The DA.
Oh, Krasner?
Ooh, I would love to see
him. That's a good point. Because everybody's talking out of their ass about who gets to run for president, then why can't Larry Krasner run?
I would love to see him get in the mix, boy. That would be.
Although Krasner actually has a job to do. I got to say, man, I don't want to talk about Avenatti, but it's like, I was always like, that's great. He's good on TV, whatever. But like, just the fact that this guy was a thing, like, Democratic resistance needs to calm. They need to calm the fuck down.
That dude is a, you know, and to a certain extent, to be a politician, you have to be a shameless self-promoter. But that guy is like really a shameless self-promoter. He's like Vince McMahon-ish, bro. Like, come on, man. Get that guy out of here.
Fuck out of
here. Trump would eat that dude alive, by the way.
Yes, he would. Trump would sit down. Now, I tell you why. Did you see the other day when Trump was with the CNN guy and he's just like, he's like, fake news, sit down.
Over the course
of... Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
And I was thinking of, because I love the Nation of Islam Obama, but I never quite went there where it would just be like, that's the white news. White news. Sit down. Sit down, white news. Oh, Brett Baron, you're a horrible person. You were grafted in a cave by a mad scientist. Now sit down.
Two from Natis Upasala, and it's one Michael Brooks enjoys. He asked, why didn't AZ take off the same way as Jay-Z or Nas?
Waz, I got a lot of thoughts on this, but tell me first.
I mean, when it comes to like Nas, first of all, he's just straight up not as talented as Nas is, right? Like, AZ is talented. He's great, and he definitely skewed on the more street tale side of the Jay-Z sort of stuff, but he just wasn't as talented as Nas, and he wasn't as cynical as Jay. That's just, you know, that's the long and the short of it. Like, Hov had a laser precision on, like, I'm going to get big, right? Like, I'm going to try to be as artful as I can while doing it, but trust me, the commerce is coming before the art. You know, he made that decision from the gate, and Nas is just, you know, he's probably pound for pound our most talented rapper ever. So that's why I think he's never gotten as big as those two. Although, you know, he was a comparable rapper. I would never call him better than Nas or Hov in any, like, you know, objective context, but he's definitely a comparable rapper in the sense that, like, if he made a song, and you know, the proof has borne this out when he's been on songs with Hov and Nas, like, he's been every bit their peer. But as far as a solo artist, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically true. Although I will say there's actually a lot of tracks, and I'm like, obviously a very big Nas fan, but I would say there's several Nas AZ tracks where AZ outshines Nas.
Sure.
To be fair, it is like, you know, those, a lot of Firm tracks, and that was, you know, just not a, like, that just didn't work really as a concept. But there's several of those tracks that, like, I'm going to fast forward through the Nas verse to get to AZ. And I do think that, I don't know, it's crazy. I'm forgetting the name of AZ, Do or Die, which I think is his first album. I think that came out in 1995. It's not, you know, yeah, it's definitely not Illmatic. It's definitely not, Reasonable Doubt, although I might, and frankly, I enjoy listening to it more than Reasonable Doubt, although not as much as Blueprint. But I think, you know, he definitely, he, in some ways, though, while I don't think it's, it is not as good as Illmatic or It Was Written, it's kind of a great synthesis because it still has kind of some of the more sort of narrative and the kind of grittiness of Illmatic. It's a little bit more sort of like ground level. And then it, but it gets very cinematic. And then, you know, by the time it gets, the, It Was Written, which I think is also an underrated album. That's a very, very operatic, cinematic, you know, kind of like high concept, you know, luxury gangster, global gangster imagery album. But I think, I don't really know why. I mean, I think like Waz gave all of the basic reasons as to why, but what's interesting to me is, I just think people like AZ, I've used this analogy before. They're like Mats Wilander, who was a great tennis player in the late 80s, or Ivan Lendl. Like, who are these guys who might even be at the absolute top for a minute? But they're not like sort of on the outer circles. They're up enough, but they just don't have the staying power or the ascendancy. I remember I met a guy years ago who we were actually met at a yoga thing, but it turned out that he had been involved in the record business a little bit and he knew them, and he knew both Jay-Z and both AZ and Nas. And I asked him this very question, even though this is like 10 years ago, and he said something like, he basically said the line was, AZ knows that he's great, but he doesn't really get that he's great. And it was almost like the ego is all there, but the real understanding of what he could craft for himself and what he actually has the capacity to do, he doesn't have that same kind of confidence level that a Nas has. So that was interesting.
All right, guys. Question three comes from ArmyVet_Pain. He asks, and we can kind of expand this into a bigger discussion here that I was interested in, but he asks, is Haitian culture in Florida different from what's in New York? For instance, East Coast Black people culture and dialect are totally different from Black people dialect down south. And I saw the question and I kind of wanted to get Waz's and even Mike's opinion on this, and also kind of twist it a little bit to see what Waz thinks about the – especially in New York, I mean, the relations between African-American people and Hispanic people. But we can start here with the Haitian cultural differences, since we have the Haitian sensation himself on the call.
I think, I mean, a lot of this stuff is kind of obvious, right? Like Florida, just its proximity to Haiti, like makes it more of an extension of the actual island because it's so much closer. People who live in Florida go to Haiti so much more often. There's a more synergistic, you know, symbiotic relationship going on between, you know, say somewhere like Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, and Haiti, the actual island, than there is, say, Flatbush, Brooklyn, right? It's proximity. And then, of course, the cultures of the places themselves, whether it be Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach and all of that, or even somewhere like Central Florida, like Orlando and Apopka and all of that, to New York, right? Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, New Jersey, even Boston. I just think there's just a more, and you know, whatever. People might say this is a biased New York-ass take, but it's just like your life in New York is just does not mirror that of somebody who's living in living down south in the country. It's more city. It's more fast paced. It's more boom, boom. It's more cultural, quite frankly, right? Like in Miami, it's literally just the Cubans, the Haitians, and the Jamaicans, right? And the Native Black Americans. Like there's not this crazy melange of culture over there. And I just think that's what makes it a little bit different. I would say, actually, man, Florida Haitians are just, yeah, a little bit more Haitian, a little, they just have more country. It's just this crazy mixture, yo. It's hard to, it's hard for even me to describe it, honestly.
I mean, I don't, I could just say I don't know anything about, I've spent very little time in Florida. And when I've been there, I've been sort of like doing work. I feel like, I mean, tell me if I'm, I mean, I know that there's very big differences, obviously, inside New York in terms of like just even when you go to the West Indian parade, like it's very clear, like, you know, which truck is a Haitian truck, which truck is a Jamaican, which one is, you know, from Trinidad, whatever. But it also just seems to me that like there is very much within all of that difference and diversity, there is like a Caribbean New York culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And very united.
Especially now, right? Especially in 2018. I think that's even more the case. I don't know that that was actually the case in the 70s and 80s when people really, when the migration really, really, really happened, right? For instance, like, you know, Haitians were going to hospitals and were getting blamed for AIDS. So, like, hospitals put... Yeah. Like actual rules in place that doctors got to treat Haitian patients differently from other people. And this is documented. You can look this up, people. Haitians actually marched in Manhattan, you know what I'm saying, for the right to not be treated like other citizens. You know, of course, there's the language barrier where people from Barbados, Trinidad, Grenada, Jamaica, they all speak English, right? Haitians spoke a different language, so that tended to isolate Haitians a little bit more. There was just a lot of stuff that isolated Haitians within the community, you know, and that's not even to say, like, when you go to work and the bosses are pitting the Caribbeans against the Black American workers, right? Where they're like, yo, right, these guys come from a third world country. They know what real hard work is. You fucking Black Americans are lazy. So, like, it's all these complicated things that were always happening, especially in New York City. You know what I'm saying?
Can we get... I don't know. I know. I guess you're not necessarily going to make it to the TMBS show at the Bell House in February, but I know there's many live shows ahead. Maybe we even just do a Woke Bros live show, and I'm wondering if we could have a poster of John Vautrin Aristide up when we do it.
Yeah. We'll get Aristide. We'll get Preval. We'll even get Sweet Mickey in there, man. We'll try to cover the gamut.
I don't know. I feel like it's
Haitian despot.
Sweet kind of a little bit.
They all were. They all were, bro.
Aristide.
They all were drug peddlers. They all were U.S. sock puppets. All of them. Aristide. Every single last one of them.
Aristide.
Yes, sock puppet.
The United States and the UN removed, it had to go in exile to South Africa.
Yeah, sock puppet. He probably stopped cooperating, but he was installed by the US. You know, it started as grassroots, but like even to start grassroots, you got to get support from somewhere. How you even get that grassroots shit started? In a place like Haiti, specifically, right? Where the ruling class can squash you in a fucking instant, bro.
Yeah, in a second,
they can get your ass up out of here. So, you know, it is what it is. But of course, you know, he had diverted hundreds of millions of dollars of funds offshore. And so when he got exiled, he's good. He's freaking filthy, that dude.
He's back in Haiti. But he's lying low, I think, right? Isn't he back in Haiti?
I know he came back for a spell. I don't know if he's back. I don't know what he's doing. I can't say that I've been paying very close attention to Haitian politics recently. But,
yeah, he's just focusing on Cardi B. You're like, hey, why would I focus on Haitian politics when there's a Dominican rapper? See, that's how they get you. I actually heard Waz that I had to do a segment on it. One of the coups in Haiti that the United States supported, it was also the Cali cartel in the 90s was behind it too, because they used Haiti as like a main transport route out of Colombia.
Wow. So like, yeah. So on the bigger, on the other side of it too, I mean, for as far as like New York people, I mean, I don't think people really get like the relationship that Spanish people and African American people have, that it was contentious. I mean, my dad used to tell me stories about the 80s, about the race wars. You know what I'm saying? Like, he lived in Brooklyn. And that's kind of like been smoothed over, obviously, over time. But like, there's always questions. I know people always ask me questions about, well, why does Fat Joe get to use the N-word? Or why does, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of want you to shed a little bit of light on why that something like that is kind of acceptable nowadays. Well, maybe not nowadays, but was acceptable at that time.
So for Fat Joe, right? Like, what people got to understand about,
or even like Cardi B or Big Pun. I mean, you can go on and on and on.
What people got to understand about Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, right? Like, the ethnic makeup is basically European, indigenous people, and African people, right? Like, that's essentially the ethnic makeup of the islands over there, which by the way, is the same as America, because the same people, you know, move the same people from the same places to do the same shit, right? Like, so, you know, that's one. If we want to get really fucking extra technical about it, where shit starts to happen is that, you know, and of course, Rob could speak to this, on the actual island of Puerto Rico, just like in America, a lot of the freaking just European years of European indoctrination, both here and in places like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, the idea of like having lighter skin, having fair, you know, having straighter hair, blah, 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 makes you a better fucking human being, right? And a lot of that has permeated all over the islands, all over America. Of course, everybody knows that. So now you get to New York City, the quote unquote melting pot, right? And the bottom line is the most downtrodden people in New York are Blacks and Hispanics, right? I think whenever issues are framed, right, as, you know, police brutality, for instance, they when they talk about the statistics of people who are getting pulled over more likely to get fucked up, more likely to get shot, they always say Blacks and Hispanics. So traditionally, it's always been lumped in together. But when you really get to the granular level and the micro level in the actual communities, there's always been a division for whatever reason. And for somebody like me, right, and I'm not afraid to say this because there's a Puerto Rican on the call, right? I'm like, look, when you go to New York, when you go to any Puerto Rican neighborhood, they're playing rap music. They're playing reggaeton, which is an extension of reggae and rap music, right? Like, a lot of our culture is their culture, right?
That's right, Rob.
And vice versa, too, though.
Yeah, listen up,
no,
Rob.
That was going to be my next point. Like, throughout the beginning, the origin of hip-hop, Latin people have been making, you know, great contributions to the culture. There's no two ways about it. But for somebody like me, I just be like, yo, a lot of times Puerto Ricans don't give it up. They just don't give it up to Black people the way I feel like Black people deserve it. But that's just, it's not just Puerto Ricans. It's everybody, right? Like, you can talk to somebody who's Indian and they'll tell you, yo, my Indian parents don't think Black people ain't shit. They think Black people ain't shit. Somebody who's Asian, say, you know, not Asian, but you know what I mean, Korean or Chinese or Japanese, Black people ain't shit. But for me, it cuts a little bit deeper with Puerto Ricans and Dominicans of New York City, because it's like, yo, bro, a lot of this shit is our shit, right? Walk like us, talk like us, the lingo, the everything. But then when it comes down to the nitty gritty, you know, one of my homies coined the phrase, one foot over the fence ass motherfuckers, right? That's how he would describe it. Where it's like, yo, when it's convenient to be like, oh, Black and Hispanic, yeah, we in it together, support us, cool. But then when it's in the reverse, a lot of Black people feel like they don't get that same support, you know, back from Puerto Rican people, right? And, you know, and again, like, it's little things like, you know, you read a job application, it says non-white Hispanic. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
Tell me about it.
Actually, like, seriously, what does that mean?
Bro, I don't know what it means. Person. It's basically...
It's Cuban. I think what they're trying to do is Cubans.
It's the Cubans.
They mean Cuban?
They invented it. It was invented...
Marco Rubio.
Right.
This question is for a Republican cocaine trafficker who hates Castro.
Right. It was invented by Nixon, the distinction.
Right.
It was invented by him because really? It's like, yo, if we can get these people to think they're white, shit, that's great. To the point where, like, you know, Miami Cubans, that's a Republican stronghold, bro. Right. And if you ask yourself, what's the real difference between a Cuban and a Puerto Rican or a Colombian? I don't really know, but Miami Cubans get to be white. That's what I do know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, like,
and so
straight.
I think that's part of the frustrations and the divisions, and it's all just white people dividing us as usual. But we fall for it every time. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it used to be, and like for full transparency, it used to be a lot worse, like way back in the day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like 30 years ago in the 80s or whatever. And people Yeah, I mean, you still find it here and there, but I think like what people like fail to understand sometimes too is like even within Hispanic culture, I mean, Puerto Ricans and Dominicans have always had problems. Puerto Ricans and Mexicans have always had problems. So like, you know, and that's just something that's naturally there.
And people need to understand the problem is, you know, and if you ask a Dominican, it's like, yo, they think they're white. They think they're better than us because they're whiter than us.
Right.
Literally.
because you know, Puerto Rican people are part of the U.S. I mean, that's what they see.
You know what? I mean, I was going to say funny, but it's definitely not funny. But it's like, okay, you know what? Let me just not – I'm not even going to take it in the direction of like real racist trash people. I'll take it even in a more – let me just take it in an even more like just kind of even slightly neutral. Like if you go – to when my family left New York and they went up to fucking rural hippie Massachusetts, right? Where there is like a handful of people of color, period, representing all people of color. Like those, it's just amazing because it's like if you went up there, it would be like, oh, where are you from? The Dominican Republic. Oh, cool. I never heard of it. Is that in Africa?
Like, yeah, facts. literally. It's like, oh, you're a nigger. Like, literally.
I'm not even going. I mean, I'm talking like maybe even the lady that, yeah, that's one reaction for sure. But maybe even like nice liberal lady who's like, oh, we should do like a night at school so kids can learn what your food is like. They don't fucking know.
Nobody knows.
Like, it's all black.
The dominant society, exactly, like could give black. A fuck. The dominant society could give a damn. You're black, bro. You're not white.
Right. Yeah. No? When I moved from – I was born in New York, and I moved to PA for, like, grade school. And I remember when I was in, like, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, even fourth grade, I used to get in fights, like, almost every month because some kid would come on the bus and call me a spick, call me a beaner, whatever. And, like – they don't know. And I was one of the first, like, this was before, you know, 9/11, when a lot of people moved from New York to the Poconos where I grew up.
Right.
And I was one of the first people there. I remember I was one of the first grades in my elementary school when they first opened it. And like, I remember getting fights with kids because they used to say this stuff and they don't know the difference. And it's like Bob says, I mean, he's right. Like they don't know. And they will be the ones dominating the discussion because I remember when I was in eighth grade, a teacher signed me up for the diversity club. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, I didn't want to do this. Like, I didn't ask to get signed up for, oh, well, you're Puerto Rican, so I'm sure you could. No, like, I don't want to. I play sports. Like, don't sign me up for a club. Like, I don't want to do this. And it's like, people just don't, like, sometimes they don't understand. Like Wa said, a lot of people, and I know people who are friends of mine who are Puerto Rican or Dominican or even Cuban, and their family, older generations, obviously, if they brought home a white person or even a black person as their significant other, it's over. Don't talk to me. Like excommunicated from the family, all that type of stuff. I know people who's, you know, don't talk to their grandparents anymore because their significant other is a black person or is a white person or even is, you know, Dominican dating a Puerto Rican. And, you know, it's just weird to me.
Well, that is a lot,
though. Yeah, I mean, it's much.
I'm just kidding.
But I mean, I just always thought it was interesting, like how, you know, even me right now, I live in New York and I live around black people and I live around Spanish people too. And it's like symbiotic now, but it's always been interesting to me that there's, like you said, was there's always like a underlying tension there that like when something happens, you know, everybody picks sides.
Bro, you know, somebody like me, I ain't never been to no Puerto Rican Day Parade. Like me, I've never been to the Haitian.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't do that. I just can't, because like in my bones, I feel like those people don't want my black ass there. They don't want me breathing next to their Latin women.
It's trouble.
But yeah, man, that's just what it is. A lot, you know, and again, especially back, I don't think it happens anymore. Like, you used to always hear black and Hispanic, like, just literally as if it was one word. Like, always, well,
now
always.
It's minorities. Always. Now they're doing
sure.
It. Now,
yeah,
minorities.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, and I guess New York has become even more diverse than it's always been, you know, which is fine. But yeah, I think people from around the rest of the country would be shocked to learn, you know, the divisions that happen even amongst minority groups, man.
So the problem is they eat too much swine. Corrodes the brains. Hey, Wob, Rob, you want to join the diversity club?
You already signed me up.
Signed you up. Sign Rob up for the diversity club.
That's horrible. I don't even
get him to Mecca.
I'm gonna leave Michelle home and breathe next to some Spanish woman. Oh.
The fourth one, man. I don't really think I'm good.
Honestly, can I just say on Amazon? It's a scam.
It's obviously a scam
that these companies, and there's a bill. If you're in New York, I don't know as much about what you can do about it in Virginia, but if you're in New York, it's at least worth, you know, attempting and supporting. There's a state senator named Ron Kim, assemblyman named Ron Kim, and he has a piece of legislation that would get rid of the business credit and take the money that we're going to give to the one of the wealthiest, most powerful corporations on earth so that they can create an even greater affordability crisis in New York and fuck up the subways even more. And he's saying, let's take that money and forgive over 1 million New Yorkers of student debt, which will have a much bigger effect on the economy and help a lot more people out. And since all of these idiots who always are saying that we don't have money for anything, they do have enough money to give away to Amazon, but they don't have enough money for the public good. This guy's like, oh, we'll have the money. How about we forgive 1 million student debt? It's Assemblyman Ron Kim, and everybody should be making phone calls on the streets out there backing him. Fuck Cuomo, fuck de Blasio. This is what has to happen.
Dude, and I saw this tweet the other day. It said, Amazon is not bringing 50,000 well-paying jobs to your city or state. They're bringing 50,000 people who already have well-paying jobs.
Right.
Like, that's the difference, bro. Like, that, like, this idea that they're going to come and they're going to, you know, infuse so much bread into the New York City economy is bullshit. It's a lie, bro. It's just vanity so that we could say we got Amazon in New York. And, like, who cares? Like, why do we need them?
Exactly. Well, we don't. They will hurt New York. And this whole like, feudal, like this whole country of all these states and cities begging Amazon, like a combination of like feudalism and a reality show, all for people to give even more to this company that already ruthlessly exploits labor, that has already harmed the way the economy is managed.
Shit,
that they already has
to those people in those Amazon factories, bro. It's crazy.
Yes,
people scared to go take a piss in Amazon factories.
Disgusting. And Jeff Bezos is definitely telling on himself by what looks to me like a pretty powerful steroid regimen. And it's like, even after all the money and after all the lives crushed and after all the stupid covers on all the whack business magazines, the fact that the girls didn't like him in high school is still what stings. Fuck Amazon. Fuck the tax credit. Fight against it. That's it.
All right. Well, to reiterate, man, make sure you guys are staying informed out there, yo. The horse race has already begun. I can't lie. I'm kind of excited about it. I hate to be that person, but I will be so locked into the Democratic presidential primary, man. Once again, make sure you go to cottonbureau.com. This is your very last chance. I don't want to hear no bitching afterwards like, oh, I wanted a shirt. I just missed the deadline. These shirts been out there for 3 weeks, y'all. We've been pushing it, pumping it. This is your last day. Get you a shirt. Get you some pins. Cottonbureau.com. Search Count the Dings. Make sure you guys check out the Basketball Buds, man. We just had Mike Prater on. He was on for goddamn near 2 hours. We had a riveting discussion. I actually broke some news on that pod. People around KD are saying that he's a lock for the New York Knicks this summer. Oh, you know, shit. You can take that with a grain of salt, but the source that I spoke to, a very reliable, plugged-in person, he told me KD's a lock. I broke that news on the Buds, y'all. I'm breaking news now, y'all. Like a real reporter.
Aggregated. Oh, wow. She gets you a little newsy cap.
And of course, don't forget to subscribe and rate the Daily Ding. That's our daily NBA show. We wrap up the NBA night. 15-20 minutes short bites. Very biteable, very eatable, very snackable. I just made up like 3 words right there. Of course, Nerdist She Wrote comes out today as well. Make sure you check out that with my man Dave DeFore hosting. The Mailbag on Friday. House of Strauss. Ethan just did an incredible episode with Amin El-Hassan. They talked about all the crazy shit that's going on in Golden State right now, y'all.
That episode, if there are any NBA fans listening, you must listen to that episode.
There's insightful. A lot of crazy shit. And make sure, and you know, I know we're not plugging The Athletic yet, but make sure you guys subscribe to The Athletic, man. Shit is $40, 40% off with a Count the Dings promo, y'all. Marcus Thompson, Ethan Strauss, my man Sam Emmy, they got the NBA on lock right now. And of course, man, Michael Brooks, the Michael Brooks show, man. The Michael Brooks show.
You gotta join.
You gotta join you gotta become a patron.
You gotta
join. You have to make sure you try to get to the live show out in Brooklyn. There's gonna be a lot of fireworks there, man. I know Michael Brooks is an incredible performer, y'all. If y'all haven't realized this already, y'all need to make sure y'all check that out. And of course, last but not least, man, we gotta give a shout out to the Count the Dings patrons, man. Everything you guys do to support us, it means the world. It's how we're able to pump out just the most incredible content in the sports and culture spaces, man. Make sure you go to patreon.com/countthedings. That's our show for today. Rob Lopez, man, shouts to you for being on the ones and twos, holding us down. Of course, Michael Brooks, always killing it. See you guys next week.